Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Crickets. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and joining me on my left for tonight's special 2022 Vitality T20 Blast preview show, I have, of course, got my co-host, everyone's favourite Yorkshireman based now in Nottinghamshire. I am, of course, talking about Mr. Matt Wiley. So, Matt, first things first, mate, thank you very much for coming back onto the show. It's becoming quite the occasion, isn't it? Quite the occurrence in 2022, but you've been a fantastic addition, mate. I have to ask, how's your day been so far?
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm glad people like listening to me. Well, I hope they do anyway. Yes, it's been a good day so far. I'm coming to you live from a hotel in Cardiff ahead of, another competition involving Nottinghamshire starting tomorrow. Happy to be back on and looking forward to getting our teeth into some T20 Black final day preview.
Absolutely, Matt. That is the attitude that we do like to hear. And yeah, you mentioned the championship. I'm looking forward to it, I must say. We've got the bumper show coming up this week with all 18 first-class counties involved. That is going to be brilliant. But of course, we aren't here to discuss the championship as much as we probably could tonight, because it is a fantastic competition. No, instead, we are here to talk about the 2022 Vitality T20 Blast. And in particular, we are here to offer our thoughts and our analysis ahead of finals day on Saturday, the 16th of July at Edgbaston. But before we get into the analysis of each game, why don't we have a look at the schedule heading into Saturday's big game, the big occasion. It's a fantastic occasion. Cannot wait for it personally. But let's have a look at the schedule, because in semi-final one, we have got, for the first time in the 20 years of the T20 Blast history, we have got a Roses match semi-final, folks. The Yorkshire Vikings are taking on the Lancashire Lightning at 11 BST. And that is going to be an absolute thriller. And then after that, in semi-final two, we've got a repeat of one of the best games from the entirety of the 2021 T20 Blast. We've got the Hampshire Hawks taking on Somerset at approximately 2:30 in the afternoon. Then after those two semi-finals, we have a little bit of a lull, a little bit of a break. The anticipation builds. And at 6:45 p.m., we've got the big one. The grand showpiece, the big occasion itself, the final, under the lights at Edgbaston. And by the end of those 3 hours or so, we will see the winner crowned for the 2022 Vitality T20 Blast. So Matt, I'm guessing as the resident Yorkshire fan, we might as well start with semi-final one between the Yorkshire Vikings and the Lancashire Lightning. Now, just to preface this analysis, unfortunately, I'm not sure whether or not the England players will actually be available for finals day. We haven't heard anything official. Again, that might change. We're waiting on official notice, basically, from the ECB with regards to availability. But for both of these northern counties, it will be a massive loss if they don't have their England players heading into finals day. With that being said, though, Yorkshire didn't need their England players to defeat Surrey down at the Oval in that one-run thriller in South London. So again, the Vikings might be feeling relatively confident if Lancs don't have those England superstars for finals day. But Matt, the big question is, for Yorkshire, they've never ever won the T20 Blast in the 20 years of the competition. Is 2022 finally the year that the Yorkshire Vikings lift that T20 crown?
Wouldn't I love it to be? Wouldn't I love it to be if it was? Well, I think we've got as much chance, we've got as much chance as anyone with Final Four, but I want to say there's a stronger team in it. I won't say who that team is. Because we'll get on to them. But I'm backing us to get to the final. I think that those two group stage games were so keenly fought and so... There's so much about a Roses game, whether it's at Headingley, whether it's at Old Trafford, or indeed, as this one's going to be at Edgbaston. And I just think that they're always so close that the fact that Lancashire have won the previous one, and then there was a tie, the fact that Yorkshire haven't won either so far this season, means that they're really, really going to be up for it. And not that Lancashire aren't going to be up for it, of course, but I just think there might be that extra drive. and what a stage to do it on. So I'm backing us to get to the final. That is what I'll say.
Well, that is a bold prediction, Matt. I wasn't expecting any other different answer, to be honest. As a proud Yorkshireman, I was not expecting you to say that Lancashire would win and advance to the final. But in terms of Yorkshire's chances, they finished fourth in the North Group through, let's face it, pretty fortuitous circumstances. With Leicestershire's points deduction, again, we're not going to go into the controversy surrounding that. But Yorkshire, in theory, will be very, very lucky to have got to the quarterfinals in the first place. With that being said, though, the performance from Jordan Thompson at the Oval was sensational. That's one of the best death bowling performances that we'll see in recent Blast memory. It was outstanding from the Yorkshire all-rounder, and that has booked their place in this semi-final. Now, if they don't have those England players, Matt, where do you see and how do you see Yorkshire beating a very, very strong Lancashire side? What are their strengths and weaknesses, and what are the key areas that Yorkshire need to win in order to advance to that grand final?
So the big one, obviously, for me is getting off to a fast start. That is, I mean, I'll be honest, when Adam Live got out for a first bowler against Surrey, that was 80% of my hopes that we'd win that game just up in smoke, because he's so much about getting on the front foot, isn't he? So every single time, I mean, whenever I've seen him at Adam Live, he always, I've always noticed, he always hits that six in the first over. He always likes to get himself, seize the initiative and get going early on. And in Finn Allen, he's got a partner who likes to do the same. So that power play and making sure that you get off to a flyer is crucial. Even if, you know, even if you say you're two down, something like that, even if you lose both Allen and Lyon, if you've got 60, 70 runs on the board, by the time the power play or six, seven overs come to an end, then that is crucial. And that's the platform that people like Thompson can then come in and build on. Because, you know, Thompson strikes a long ball as well. But that is, you've got to put Lancashire on the back foot straight away, because, of course, they will come. They've got such strength and depth in their bowling department. They can stretch out the innings and, you know, they will consistently put you under pressure. So that is why seizing that initiative is so important. And then I'm a little bit concerned about the spin department. Comments like this have come back to bite me on the backside in the past, but I've never been a massive fan of Dominic Best. I'm just not sure about him. And if I'm not sure about him in red ball, I'm really not sure about him in white ball, it has to be said. So, yeah, I think if you're talking about strength, that opening pair, getting off to a fast start. If you're talking about weaknesses, defending it, avoiding being put under the same sort of pressure. And as a result of that, I would want to see Yorkshire chase. So, I mean, obviously, you know, the wicket in T20 for me is of less importance, isn't it? It's of less importance than a red ball game, because, you know, 40 overs is nothing to wear a pitch down. In, you know, it's about runs on the board or chasing it. And it's, you know, 20 overs is not enough to wear a pitch down. So that is where it, whether you prefer to bat first or bat second, and I want to see Yorkshire bat second.
Well, that is very interesting. Again, as a Warwickshire fan who...
sat here to disprove that, aren't you?
Well, no, just as a Warwickshire fan who was at Edgbaston watching his team get rolled out for 83 runs against Hampshire, I'm not sure I ever want to see a run chase again in my life. But I can see the logic, to be honest, Matt. And you mentioned that strong top order. Unfortunately, Finn Allen, I don't think, is going to be available as a result of New Zealand commitments. He's playing in the Ireland series at the moment. So that's going to be another big loss for the Vikings up the top of the innings. But you mentioned Adam Lyth, 518 runs, an average of 37. And the real thing which stands out to me, the 177.39 strike rate. He's been a revelation for Yorkshire. He's been so consistent over the years. And 2022 really has been a standout year for the experienced opening batsman. So in terms of that top order, along with Tom Coler-Cadmore, again, he's had a pretty good time of it in 2022. He scored 330 runs in 11 innings, a strike of 136.92. So between those two, I do think the emphasis and the onus will lie on their shoulders in terms of Yorkshire's batting. You mentioned the bowling there, Matt. I would agree. I think bowling is not necessarily Yorkshire's forte in 2022. But you mentioned Don Bess, and Don Bess is someone who I've publicly defended before. And I just want to put some stats out there to see if I can change your mind on Don Bess. So in 2022, Matt, Don Bess has actually been Yorkshire's most economic bowler. 7.65 runs and over. He's taken 9 wickets, average of 27.22. He's actually had a decent time of it. And in comparison to Shadab Khan, who is the overseas leg spinner, of course, he's taken the same amount of wickets, 9 wickets, in fact. But he's gone at 9.07 runs and over. So Don Bess actually might be quite pivotal. That's all I'll say. Have a change of mind there, Matt, or you're still adamant in that opinion and that stance?
No, well, you can't be. You can't refute stuff like that, can you? I'll be honest. I'm definitely somebody who believes that wickets are more important than runs in T20. But if they're tied, then it comes down to economy, right? And you know, that's quite a substantial. You know, if you look at that, that's the difference there, isn't it? Between less than 160, a total of less than 160 versus a total of over 180. So you might not have changed my mind, but food for thought.
Well, you know what, Matt? I'll take that. Again, it's all about the discourse and the conversations. That's what I love about stats sometimes. They can really reinforce a point and make you think outside the box. But yeah, I think that is enough, to be honest, for Yorkshire for the time being, Matt. We have gone into quite a deep dive. I know that you're not going to be very happy about that because we have to talk about their trans-Pennine rivals now, the Lancashire Lightning, who finished second in the North Group. They absolutely dispatched Essex as well. Really comfortable run chase up at Old Trafford, courtesy of the legendary Stephen Croft. In terms of their chances, Matt, if they don't have the likes of Liam Livingstone and Joss Butler, they've still got one of the most explosive and complete batting lineups at finals day in 2022. I'll ask you the exact same question. Where are the strengths and weaknesses of this Lancashire outfit? And what do the Lightning need to do in order to beat the Vikings and secure their place in the final of this year's T20 Blast?
Yeah, well, it's the reverse, isn't it? The big thing is get Adam Lyle early. Now, obviously, I know it didn't work for Surrey, but yeah, if I keep kind of going into it, is so, so crucial that you sap up that top order and you put that top order under pressure, because you have to obviously deny Yorkshire that opportunity to build that platform, basically. And as long as they keep taking regular wickets, which they're capable of, because it is kind of reversed roles, isn't it? I mean, don't get me wrong, Lancashire very strong batting, but significantly weakened if they don't have those England players. But bowling, I mean, Parkinson really is the only one who probably won't play, is he? Because if there's no England player, because Richard Gleeson won't be in the ODI squad, so he'll play, and he's been in sterling form, hasn't he? So I think if he can get live early and get them under pressure, I say them, us, get us under pressure, then that's how they start to break, basically, and start to break up. Conversely, if it turns out that that they bat first and we're bowling, then they have to make sure they maintain that run rate, because as we said, Yorkshire bowling is not the strongest, so you have to take advantage of that all the time and make sure that if you are going to put runs on the board, make it not an insurmountable total, but make it a really, really difficult total to chase, because Yorkshire will fancy the chances to chase any. And I mean, you know, you'll know this from when you were at Headingley, mate, the Birmingham game. That was a massive score from Birmingham, and Yorkshire had a right good go at chasing it down. So it's a, yeah, it's going to require Lancashire's bowling, I think, will win this for them. Conversely, if they do have the England players, I would change my prediction. I would say that Lancashire will win that game, but if they don't, it's going to be a much closer fought fixture, and it'll come down to Lancashire's bowling for my money.
It's interesting you say that, Matt, because again, I've been doing some digging. I've been looking at some stats in this year's T20 Blast, and you mentioned about early breakthroughs really for the Lancashire Lightning. This really did surprise me, actually, because when you consider the likes of Luke Wood, Richard Gleeson, of course, they've got some excellent spin bowlers as well. Power play wickets is actually something which Lancashire have struggled to pick up in 2022. So in their last 12 matches, the Lightning have only picked up three or more wickets in the power play on two occasions, 2 out of 12. So they aren't exactly picking up loads of wickets in overs 1 to 6. Now, if I'm just to compare that to Hampshire, for example, Hampshire have achieved that in 3 of the last 4 matches. So that is a real area the Lancs have struggled in. Now, against a side like Yorkshire, which have the likes of Adam Lyth, Tom Coler-Cadmore, these real explosive, dynamic power hitters, if they don't get those early wickets, and those guys do put on a bit of a platform, Yorkshire might just fancy their chances of taking home the victory in this particular encounter. But it's a Roses match. It's a semi-final. This is uncharted territory. It's going to be a blockbuster. You could argue, in fact, for a lot of fans, this actually might mean more than the final, because you are going to have the bragging rights from this for the rest of time. It's the first ever Roses match semi-final. And I've got to be honest, Matt, you're not going to like me here when I say this. I've got Lancashire winning. I have got Lancs winning. I've got them as one of the favourites to win the Blast. I said that all the way back in the preview show. Their batting lineup is so complete, but it's not just the batting, it's also the bowling. And Richard Gleeson has been outstanding. 23 wickets and a 7.83 commy rate. On high-scoring wickets in the North Group, that's sensational. That's all you can really describe it as. And I just look at the spin attack as well. Tom Hartley is so underrated, so underappreciated. 23 years old. He's been Lancashire's second leading wicket taker in the Blast so far this summer. 17 wickets, an 8.63 commy rate. And I just think that on that wicket Edgbaston, which sometimes in particular on a hot July day can just be a little bit spin conducive, I do fancy his chances to really provide some key breakthroughs for the men in red. So my official prediction, Matt, I'm going for a Lancashire win. I have a feeling that you're going to disagree and go with the Vikings. Would I be correct?
You would, yes. If we're going to make the assumption that no England players are available, then I'm going to say Yorkshire to win. Yeah.
Interesting. Even if England players are available, I'm still going with Lancashire.
Oh, if England players are available, I would switch. I mean,
you can't do that, Matt. Come on, back your boys.
All right, back my boys. Fine. Joe, reverse ramp, deal scooping Gleeson into the Wyatt stand for 6. Fine, we'll check it. can you reverse scoop into the Wyatt stand? Where is the Wyatt stand?
I suppose you can. Yeah, if you're bowling from the pavilion end, yes, you can.
Yeah.
All so. Right, Great knowledge of Edgbaston as well, might I just say, Matt. Big fan of that, Percy speaking, as the resident Warwickshire fan. But aside from that first semi-final then, so our official predictions, my one, the cricket connoisseurs, is going to be a Lancashire win. Matt, your one is a Yorkshire win. Again, listeners, please do let us know on the socials, at the Counter Cricket on Twitter, and the Counter Cricket Podcast on Instagram. Who do you think will win the Roses match semi-final? Yorkshire Vikings, Lancashire Lightning? Please feel free to let us know. But aside from semi-final one there, Matt, let's go to semi-final two. And we can't really talk about Hampshire versus Somerset without a little bit of background story, which is, of course, the 2021 semi-final at Edgbaston. Josh Davey breaking hearts in Winchester and Basingstoke, the Isle of Wight and Southampton, with those couple of dramatic sixes at the end to secure Somerset's place in the final in last year's competition. That is going to provide an extra little bit of spice and an extra layer of interest, I think, for this particular semi-final. And just looking at Hampshire, 2 times winners of the tournament in 2010 and 2012, Hampshire are a team with such a strong and illustrious T20 pedigree. But in terms of their T20 Blast so far, they finished 4th in the South Group. They got off to an absolute horror start and now have won 10 out of their last 11 matches. One of which happened to be the quarterfinal. They absolutely annihilated the Bears by 104 runs at Edgbaston. So again, I think that'll give them an extra bit of confidence heading into the semis. In terms of their strengths and weaknesses, Matt, what are the real key areas for the Hawks heading into this semi-final? Where do you think the Hawks can actually, you know, make a real strong case for a place in that final and potentially lift T20 trophy number 3?
Well, I think 2 areas. Now, my sort of analysis, if you can call it that, is becoming very, very one-dimensional, isn't it? But it is, again, that opening pair for Hampshire. You have to get one, preferably both, early. And this might not go down so well, actually, because I really, really like Jermaine Vince. But for me, if you're going to pick one of, if you're going to pick one to get rid of, you have to get rid of Ben McDermott, because Vince, he's got the class, he's got the sheer batting ability, but McDermott's got the explosiveness, hasn't he? He's got the ability to put you under pressure from ball one. But that opening pair, I've seen Hampshire twice or three times, and both times. I mean, one of them was against Sussex in the group stage when those two put on a massive stand, and then against Birmingham, unfortunately, mate, in the quarter final when they did the same again. So that is just a huge strong point. You have to take a wicket early on, first, second over. You have to get rid of one of those or both of them, because they will hurt you if you don't. Weakness after that. Are we sure after that? You know, that they're very, very top heavy, aren't they, Hampshire? They've got those two, but then have they really got that middle order? And indeed, against against Birmingham, it was a bit unsure. Against Sussex, again, that was the game I watched. Again, a bit unsure. They were, it wasn't quite a collapse as such, but it was a wobble, I think you can call it that. So, yeah, it's simultaneously a strength and a weakness. They have to, they can put you under pressure, and they will do it easily. But if you get one of them, then you can immediately put them under pressure. It's such fine margins with Hampshire.
It most certainly is, Matt. And again, as you rightfully said, we did see that in the quarterfinal. 93 for none in the first 10 overs, basically. And then, yeah, ending on 187 for seven. I'm still a little bit disappointed, I can't lie, with the end results. I was absolutely gutted in the stands at Edgbaston. But again, fair play to Hampshire. And of course, James Vince and Ben McDermott were quite scintillating. And just looking at their stats in 2022, you mentioned James Vince, Matt. I think he is the key wicket. I think he's the talisman, because he is the leading run scorer in this year's T20 Blast. 653 runs, an average of 54.41. and a strike rate of 146.08. Those are some very, very impressive stats. And then his partner in crime up the top of the order, Ben McDermott, 15 matches, 401 runs, a 26.73 average, and a strike rate of 140.7. If those two tee off, Hampshire will fancy their chances of reaching the final, because their bowling attack, in my view, is the best at finals day. And the reason why I said I think they're going to win is because I have this old adage, this old phrase, I use it all the time. Batsmen win your games, bowlers win your trophies. And I think in finals day, under that pressure, with all of those expectations, I think Hampshire's bowling attack can come good, but they need a foundation. And you mentioned the middle order. Really, really good point there, Matt, because I saw that firsthand at Edgbaston. That really strong start, then they had a collapse and they couldn't really get it back. And again, looking statistically at the Hawks in 2022, this is a really interesting piece of information, actually. Only one of their players has been striking at over 150 in this year's tournament. And Matt, if you had to guess who that was, who do you think it is? It might surprise you.
It's going to surprise me. Nathan Ellis.
Now, that would be surprising. Seeing as Nathan Ellis has a 92.85 strike rate, not quite 150, it's actually James Fuller. And in fact, just on the topic of James Fuller, I was going to mention him anyway, but 20 wickets with a 7.84 commy rate, and then that 150.82 strike rate, 273 runs. He is the most clinical finisher on this team. Again, he's going to play a key role for the Hawks in this semi-final. But that, again, just underlies a little bit of a concern for me. They don't have the finishing capabilities of a Somerset, a Lancashire, or indeed a Yorkshire. I think in terms of the four teams at finals day in this year's competition, Hampshire will be most in trouble if early wickets do fall. And Somerset have got a knack of taking early wickets, but then struggling at the death. So for Hampshire, this is going to be very, very interesting indeed. It really is. I fancy their chances, though, but they have got a very, very stern opposition in front of them in the form of Somerset County Cricket Club. One-time winners of the T20 Cup all the way back in 2005. They finished second in the South Group. And to be honest, we can't talk about Somerset's run in this year's T20 Blast without mentioning last night at the Cooper Associates County Ground, 265 for 5, a T20 blast record, beating the previous, which was the Bears 262 for 2 at Trent Bridge in this year's competition. So that's first and foremost. That was the first record broken. It's the fifth highest score in men's T20 cricket history, which is remarkable. And then, as if that wasn't enough, just the 191-run victory over the Derbyshire Falcons on home soil, biggest T20 blast victory ever by runs and the third biggest in T20 cricket history by a margin of runs as well. So Somerset County Cricket Club coming to finals day in scintillating form with a capital S. And one man in particular who has stood out head and shoulders, not just amongst his teammates, but in fact in front of many a player in this year's T20 Blast, is of course Riley Russo. 600 runs, an average of 50, and a strike rate of 197.36. Those are ludicrous numbers. It's like he's been playing stick cricket out in the T20 Blast this summer. He is absolutely unstoppable at the moment, is the hard-hitting South African. And Matt, that brings me beautifully onto my question, really. If Riley Russo does go early and Somerset don't have a 50 or 60 plus score from the South African, can they still win? Yes or no?
Yes, they can. We'll get on to I'll say about Hampshire in a second, but yes, they can, because as much as Riley Russo has been the linchpin and the talisman, if you like, they've got so much around them, haven't they? They've got the likes of Lamanby, they've got the likes of Ben Green, they've got Tom Banton, who somehow managed to mention third in that list. Should be top, shouldn't they, really? It's just, yeah, they've got that. What Hampshire don't have, in sense, you know, Hampshire have got those top two and then a little bit of a dearth elsewhere. Somerset just keep coming, don't you? They just keep coming at you and just keep... They can put you under continuous pressure. But at the same time, they're coming up against a side massively in form in this format, aren't they? And Nottinghamshire last season found themselves on the wrong end of that. It doesn't necessarily matter if you're stronger on paper, because form is so, so key in T20. And the fact that Hampshire have gone on this run again, like they did last year, they've just found the groove at exactly the right time, and they want revenge as well. They want to avenge that from last season, won't they? So, for me, Somerset are the stronger team on paper, but games aren't played on paper. And I think I'm seeing Somerset can win, but Hampshire will.
Oh, that's interesting, Matt. I'll come on to the predictions in due course. I would agree with that analysis, to be honest. But even for us as neutrals, this is even getting us excited, isn't it? Let's be honest, two incredible teams with very different approaches to T20 cricket. Hampshire, very much a case of trial by combat in the bowling department. And then Somerset is that top four, isn't it? Will Smead, Tom Banton, Riley Russo, Tom Abel. It's ludicrous. And again, that is going to be a blockbuster occasion at Edgbaston for the second semi-final. In terms of Somerset's weaknesses, yes, they have got that extraordinary batting lineup. I do worry about the death bowling. And yes, this is completely understandable because they do play in Taunton. It's a very batting-friendly wicket. And yes, the economy rates are obviously going to be higher as a result. But in terms of death bowling options, if you compare them to Lancashire or Hampshire, I do think that's an area where Somerset are struggling. But there is one bowler who I think could prove to be all the difference in this year's finals day, and that is Rulla van der Merwe. I've got him down as my finals day dark horse, and I do have logic to that. In last year's final, he took 3 for 19 against Kent. He is the perfect bowler to have in big occasions and at Edgbaston. I mentioned the extra degree of turn when discussing Tom Hartley earlier. Rulla extracted that in last year's final. And again, he hasn't had the greatest of tournaments by his incredibly high standards. He's only taken 7 wickets in 15 matches. But he has been Somerset's most economical bowler with a 7.78 economy rate. So Roloff, in my view, could actually be a key player in this year's semi-final. I think if he can produce some pressure, let's say that Hampshire win the toss and bat first, again, something which has worked incredibly well for them in 2022, if he can just put on the brakes, apply the pressure, put on those screws, I think Somerset might fancy their chances. So this is going to be a great game. I can't wait for it. We've got a Roses match to kickstart, and then we've got Hampshire versus Somerset part two. And in terms of our predictions then, Matt, I think we're in agreement with both going for the Hampshire Hawks then.
Yeah, I think, like I said, this one is, I mean, not that they're both incredibly closely fought, but this one genuinely is decided by those such fine margins that the mental state of both sides will have such a massive key. It'll be so key in this. And I just think that because Hampshire are in that groove and they're in that, they're in the rhythm, aren't they? And I just think in T20, that is so, so important. It's so more important than the other format. It helps, but it's so key in T20. I just think that that will prove to be the difference. And like you said, it's trial by bowlers for Hampshire. It's interesting you mentioned Roloff van der Merwe as well, by the way, but I agree, he could be key. But if we're talking about spinners, you know, Hampshire have got one of their own. Mason Crane could definitely, you know, it's not like Hampshire don't have that ability to turn that on its head as well. So, yeah, I would go for Hampshire overall just because of that mental edge that they've got and that such confidence in their own game that they know what they're doing has worked and worked repeatedly and worked recently as well.
Well, there you have it, folks. We are in agreement then for semi-final two. We're both going with the Hampshire Hawks. Again, I'm sure that'll bring a nice smile to the face of Hampshire fans out there listening to the pod. Somerset fans, probably not so much, but do not fret, Somerset fans, because at least personally speaking, my final day predictions haven't gone great in the past. In fact, last year I went with the Sussex Hampshire final. We ended up with the Somerset Kent final, and Kent, a team which I said might not even reach finals day, went on to win the entire competition. So do not worry, Somerset fans. I am cursed at the moment. Your team will probably win now. Okay, you might be thanking me later. But in terms of that grand final then, Matt, given our theoretical situations then, my final would be a Lancashire versus Hampshire final. Yours would be a Yorkshire Hampshire final. Who would you go with to be the champions, the winners of the 20th edition of the Vitality T20 Blast?
I'm going for Hampshire. And it's not very Yorkshire patriotic on me, is it? But no, I am going for Hampshire because I think that the fact that that semi-final is second now, I know there's a big argument for the fact that the first semi-final could be the winners because they get a little bit of rest. I'm going to stick with the whole T20 rhythm and carrying yourself once you're in that groove. And the fact that Hampshire almost won't have too much time if they do win. They almost won't have too much time to kind of rest on the laurels or reflect or anything like that. They're just straight into it again. Whereas Yorkshire might, you know, hit a bit of a bump or, you know, you're not quite sure in that 3 hours. You can maybe reflect a little bit too much. I think that gives Hampshire the advantage. And what I would say, there's history between these two, and I know there's history between these two because I was there. And indeed, it was in this very city where I'm sat now. That was, and in fact, as a fairly little Easter egg, they beat Somerset in the final, didn't they? So, in the semi-final, my apologies. So, if they beat Somerset in the semi-final and then go on to beat Yorkshire in the final, then we've been here before, haven't we? And all sports got a funny way of coming full circle like that. And that was 10 years ago as well, wasn't it? It was exactly a decade ago. So, it's all got a funny way of coming full circle to a satisfying conclusion like that. Not satisfying for me, of course, but no, I think when you genuinely drill down into both teams, I think if Yorkshire do manage to sneak past Lancashire, then they're going to come up against a Hampshire outfit that's really strong in the bowling department and will be able to put that batting lineup under pressure. And then the fact that Ben McDermott and James Vince are just all conquering versus a bowling attack that's a little bit misfiring from time to time. Yeah, I think I've got to back Hampshire, unfortunately. It would be nice, but yeah, I'm going to back Hampshire.
Fair enough, Matt. Fair enough. Again, it is logical. Hampshire, an incredibly strong outfit. heading into finals day. And that's why I've got them as a finalist as well. But in terms of my logic, I'm going down a slightly different path. Although I'm not a Lancashire or Yorkshire fan per se, okay, I like all the 18 counties, as many people know, or at least as you should know, by now, I'm a Warwickshire fan. I want to see a Northern team lift the T20 Blast. I think I'm going to go with the Lancashire Lightning, and to be honest, I would love to see them lift it for a number of reasons. A, I think they deserve to, with the likes of Tim David, with the likes of Richard Gleeson. Tom Hartley's been a revelation. I think they've got a wonderfully complete batting lineup. But in addition to that, I just think that Lancashire team, with all that experience, with the likes of Stephen Croft, Dane Vilas, these guys have been there and done it before. They haven't got across the line in 2020. I think that's going to give them extra motivation to go one step further in 2022. So for that reason, I'm going to go with the Lancashire Lightning as the champions of the 2022 Vitality T20 Blast. That is locked in. I will not be changing that. Lancashire, in my view, are the favourites to win, and I've got them as the champions. We shall have to wait and see, though, because my predictions haven't been good in the past. So apologies in advance, Lancs fans, if I do eventually curse your team in the final. But I do fancy the Lightning's chances. I really do. I think that 2022 will be the year that Lightning strikes twice, to pardon the pun. So there we have it, folks. Our predictions are in. We've got the Hampshire Hawks for Matt. We've got the Lancashire Lightning for me, which probably means, Matt, knowing our luck in the past, it's going to be either Somerset or Yorkshire who eventually go on to win. So again, we'll have to wait and see. All four teams have got very strong chances. And of course, it goes without saying, but we're wishing them all the very best of luck heading into finals day. The 20th year, and what a fantastic occasion this promises to be. We've got a Roses match semi-final. We've got a repeat of last year's incredible encounter at Edgbaston between Hampshire and Somerset. And then we've got the final itself, under the lights, 20,000 plus people in the second city of Birmingham at Edgbaston Cricket Ground. There's nothing like it. Finals day, even if your team aren't there, is always an incredibly special occasion. And of course, for anyone going, wishing you all the best of luck, wishing your teams the best of luck, and just enjoy the day. We deserve it. We really do. It's been a great season, a great tournament. Fingers crossed that we get a good conclusion in the second city on Saturday, the 16th of July. But that is essentially it from us two here at the Counter Cricket Podcast for tonight's episode. To each and every single one of you wonderful listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.